95.7 Ben FM Philadelphia presents Her Story, hosted by Kathy Romano. Her Story is a weekly tribute to women making a major difference in the lives of others by telling her story.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
95.7 Ben FM presents Her Story with Kathy Romano.
Good morning and welcome to Her Story. I'm your host, Kathy Romano. Today's guest is the award-winning interior decorator and co-founder of Trust the Vision Decor, a residential design firm. The company's client list includes celebrities, media personalities, and professional athletes. Lauren Nolan Sellers worked with Phillies manager Gabe Kapler to turn his Philadelphia condo into a modern, comfortable, blue and white living space. Lauren and her life and business partner, Wendy, began the vision in their own Bucks County home and have since skyrocketed to success designing over 100 projects. With all of those projects under her belt, the most impressive by far is my dining room. Lauren is here today to share her story of success. Lauren, thanks for coming by.
Oh, happy to be here.
So you grew up in Bucks County.
Correct.
And in a pretty busy household, right? Tell me about your childhood.
So my childhood, my parents were foster parents. So since the time I was 2 years old, they started bringing in foster children. They've had over 100 kids in their home. And so it was funny. The running joke was when we'd come home from school, if there was somebody sitting on the couch, we would say, is that someone's friend or is that our new brother?
Over 100 kids?
Over 100 kids. So my mom's mission, she was put on earth, I think, to do this. And my dad they joined in together. They joined forces. But yeah, I mean, little kids, big kids, boys, girls, runs the gamut. Whoever needed a home, they were there to serve in that way. So it made for a very interesting and busy and fun childhood.
And did any of them get adopted and stay with your family, or do you still keep in touch with some of the kids that were there?
So all of the above. My mom is on Facebook, and so if I go through her friends list, I see a lot of the kids that have come back or that have stayed in touch. I'm friends with a few of them, too. But along the way they adopted six girls. So I am one of three biological kids and then one of nine, I guess just total family. And so I have six sisters and then two brothers.
With the madness in the house of all of these people coming in and out, was your house well decorated growing up?
I'm going to say it wasn't that great, only because their focus was raising the kids and their focus was sort of getting us to where we needed to go. So not only were we just, you know, there living as a family, we were all in sports and we were in church choir and we were doing all these other activities. So the home wasn't the main focus, but it certainly met all of our needs.
So where did you get this talent from then?
You know, I want to say that on my father's side, my grandmother and my aunts, apparently they did all sorts of like decor projects. So something that they did was they would make Christmas trees, meaning they would make like all the beads and the bows and they would sell them. And their homes, they were always trying to do different things. So I think that's where it came from. But my mom jokingly says to me all the time, she's like, I have no idea where you got this from. You know, I'm happy that I have it.
So when did you know you had this talent?
It wasn't until I was older, only because in our house, my parents, it was sort of their house, their rules. And so when I was there, it was sort of like, can I do this? And my dad was just like, no, because, you know, nobody trusted me to do it. And then I went to college. Obviously, you have dorm rules. Then you're renting. So you have landlord's rules. So when we finally got our first house, Wendy and I, we settled in and she was like, you can do anything you want. And I was like, what? This was like a dream come
this
true.
Is a dream.
Yeah. So I immediately became an HGTV addict. This was back when they had a lot of design shows on. And so what I would do is I would just watch and I would learn and I would see the things that they were doing. And I was like, you know what? That doesn't seem that hard. We can do this. Like, we can try this. I want to try this and I want to try that. And so that's exactly what happened. Wendy sort of gave me free rein and we ended up doing our first house pretty much from head to toe, all on our own. Now, it was a lot of cosmetics. We only knocked down one wall. But after that, I was hooked. It was
only one wall.
just one. It was the most fun I'd ever had in my life. And so after that, I was just like, I have to figure out how to make this more than what it is.
So did you go to school for interior designing?
So originally I went to school for education. So I have my master's and everything from Villanova, and that's in education and human services. But when I decided that I was going to start a business, I was like, I need to be serious about learning this craft. So I actually went to online interior design, the Interior Design Institute, which is an online school. And I took classes there. And then I also completed a few other courses just to, you know, learn and grow. And I was doing that at the time when I was in the very, very beginning. So we had a few clients. I basically was like, I'm a student, I'm learning, trust me, you know, take me on. And they did, and it worked out.
Is there a difference between interior designing and interior decorating?
Yes. So in interior designing, basically, the rule of thumb is designers can decorate, but decorators technically can't design.
Ah.
So if you're dealing with basically like spatial planning and layouts and things like that, that's where an interior designer is going to come in. An interior decorator normally focuses on like just the finishing touches, so like furnishings and window treatments and things like that. However, the way around that is just what a homeowner would do. If you need to basically go and design someone's home where you are going to knock down walls, you partner with an architect, you know, you partner with a contractor, those things. So you just bring in people who have that expertise and, you know, check everything over, and then you can move forward.
So are you a designer?
I am a decorator.
You're a decorator.
I'm a decorator.
Okay. So essentially your first project was your house in Bucks County. What was the project after that that you did for someone else?
So the first project after that we did for this, actually, this executive who lived out in Lancaster. And again, no business experience, you know, just sort of really jumped in with both feet. And I put an ad on Craigslist and I was like, you know, we're a new design firm, we're learning, I'm a student, if you're interested. And I posted a picture of the house that we'd done. And so she wrote back and was like, hey, I'm really interested in what you're doing. This looks great. Come see my place. So she was out of New York. Her job had moved her out to Pennsylvania. And she was just like, I have this apartment, you know, have at it. And so our first project was essentially, we were going there on the weekends and we were working like the entire weekend. So like 12, 13 hours a day. And then driving back, and we finished it over the course of like 8 weeks.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good.
It was pretty good. I was actually pretty impressed. But I, you know, at the time it was sort of like HGTV was sort of, we can finish everything in 3 days. I'm
right.
Like, oh, we should be able to do this type thing. And that was kind of her expectation. And so, and my eagerness to become better and meet her and, you know, meet those expectations, that's what we did. We just put in the time and then it turned out great. And so from that, we got a photographer who came out and took pictures in that space, posted those, and then it just grew from there.
Do you have a favorite project that you've done?
Your dining room, of course.
Well, yes.
You mean besides that? I think that, you know, I don't necessarily have a favorite project. There are some rooms and some spaces that we've done that I'm incredibly proud of, but they're all for different reasons. It's not necessarily where it's like the aesthetic is like, oh my gosh, it's like what happened over the course of the project and what we did to get to where we got to, or the relationships we built with the clients and things like that. So I don't necessarily, no, I can't say, I can't pick just one.
You don't have just one.
No, but okay. I do love your dining room, honestly. I do.
So do I. With so many different styles and different tastes, how do you approach a project knowing that this person is not going to be anything like the other person?
Well, I think that's one of the things that I love about it is that when we go and we meet a client, I want to understand what is going to work for them. So not just in terms of the aesthetic, but also in terms of the function. So it's walking in, it's getting a sense of their style. And that's really achieved by two different ways we primarily do it. Number one is I either ask people to send me pictures of things that they like, because there's so much information on the internet, or we actually go shopping with a client. We call it window shopping. So we'll go window shopping trips. We'll meet at like King of Prussia Mall. And we'll go. And what happens is that patterns develop. So you'll see, oh, they continue to pick this kind of light or this kind of bed. Or they, you know, they always sort of move over in this direction. And so as you watch that and then you do that with the pictures and you get a sense of just talking to them, things like that, then you can figure out, okay, this is what they're going to like. And so in the beginning, when we're doing a project, I take so much time trying to make sure I'm really clear so that by the time I present the design, I really have an understanding of what the client wants. And then they're allowed to tweak it here and there to get it to sort of that perfect, you know, where they're really, really happy with everything. And then we go on and we just complete the project.
You mentioned window shopping. What are the services that you provide?
There's a color consultation for people who are just looking for specific colors. We just finished one not too long ago for somebody who was doing an exterior renovation and they were doing an addition. And so they wanted to do the whole thing. So we came out and did that. We do that for interior and exterior. Then we do what's called the finishing touches package, where we allow the clients to order, because a lot of interior designers and decorators complain like, oh, you know, the clients are shopping me. That's what they call it, meaning that they're picking out their own pieces and they're not getting a chance. So to me, I'm sort of like, if you can't beat them, join them. Like, let's invite them into the process. You know what I mean? So we basically will go through, we'll write up a report where they get to order everything, like all of the major pieces. So like if we're doing a bedroom, let's say, they'll do like the bed and maybe if there's a dresser or a big mirror, things like that. And I'll lay all of that out with rendering so they can get us, you know, a 2D and 3D picture of what it's going to be like so they can be excited and anticipate. And then I'll also include a report where the links are attached. Click the link, takes you to it. You buy it, you order it, it comes to you. And then once that's done, I will take a portion of the budget and I'll get all the finishing touches. So I'll get the pretty little, you know, the throw pillows, the lamps, little things like that that really finish the space. And then we'll bring it all together and do the reveal. And then the highest level package is where we do our decor package. And that's just everything. So that's just, we come in, if you want to knock walls down, we hire an architect, partner with contractors, things like that. And so it's a soup to nuts process where we come in and we do everything. And that's pretty much where we are in terms of our business.
That's what you do mostly.
Yes. Yes. So finishing touches, and I would say finishing touches and decor, the decor package are our two most popular packages.
You do all of the designing and Wendy is more on the business side?
Correct. So I do all of the designing, all of the social media. I'm sort of the face of the business. I'm interacting with the clients and things like that. Wendy, you know, handles, she's tracking with the budget. She's doing our taxes. She's doing all the stuff behind the scenes that you really don't see. But the creative part is me. And, she's sort of like the engine under the hood that makes it go.
And just encourages you.
Yeah. Go, go, go. We can
go,
do
go,
this.
Go. We can do it. Which is amazing that she let you go into the house and just completely redo it.
She's been such a blessing in that way. And I think there's sometimes people are put into your path for that reason to sort of wake up that gift. Because I don't see anybody else just trusting me. You know what I mean? But she did. She just, you know, basically gave me carte blanche and said, hey, let's see how it turns out and we'll go from there. And it was obviously a great decision for both of us.
Well, they have to trust you. Trust the vision decor.
That's where it came from. The name came from the client. So we were in the middle, and even Wendy too, in the very beginning, I can always see it in my mind. So I already know in my mind, this is going here and this is going there and this is what's going to happen. But I remember one time we were doing a bedroom, and it did at the moment sort of look like a little bit of a circus tent. We were doing stripes. And so there was like wide stripes here and wide stripes there, but that's all that was done. And so the client like came in the middle and she was sort of looking and she was like, okay. And so I was like, trust the vision. You've got to trust the vision. And that's where really the name came from. So it's just about seeing it all the way through. In the end, she was, you know, really happy, totally thrilled.
But, and it didn't look like a circus tent.
No more circus tent. Circus tent was gone.
You recently bought a new house and
correct.
You guys are in the process of designing your new house?
Yes. So it was a complete fixer-upper, and I didn't realize actually how bad it was when we bought it. So we went and we were walking through it. And as soon as I walked in, I was like, this is it. Like, we're home. I love it. Meanwhile, it was like you couldn't go in the bathroom because you could fall through the floor. You know, we found out a little later on after we purchased it that there was also a family of raccoons living in the roof. So we had roommates. Long story short, what was going to start off to be sort of just like some minor projects here and there and a lot of cosmetic things became a complete gut down to the studs. Ceilings ripped out, like everything. You could just look from one end of the house to the other. It was crazy. I mean, it was crazy. But yeah, it was really fun. So once we had the house kind of torn up, then it became, well, we should probably do this. This doesn't make sense here. And why don't we make the shower bigger? And why don't we put a spiral staircase in the bedroom and give ourselves a two-story master? Yeah. So once again, you know, the creative juices got flowing. And Wendy, you know, she agreed to everything. So there really isn't anything that we didn't do. Everything was just like, yeah, let's do it.
What's more satisfying, doing your own house or doing somebody else's?
I think there's different things. So like when you do it for somebody else, you know that to make somebody that happy and know that you're going to give their family that gift, that it's like you're going to use this space, a space that wasn't utilized before, or a space that you fought about, or a space you didn't know what to do with. And now that you have that sense of not only having it done, but also feeling really proud of it, that's priceless. Like, I love that part of doing what we do. But I also, when we do your own house, you're a kid in a candy store. You know what I mean? You're like, you can pick anything you want. There's nobody that you have to say, what do you think about this? You just go. So that's been really fun to get as creative as possible and things where people are sort of like, yeah, that sounds like a little bit too much for me in my head because I know I can see it, just to be able to do it. It's been great.
So when can we see pictures of your new house?
There'll be pictures, I believe, like next week coming out. So right now we're working. It's been a year, actually over a year long process because we did the exterior, we did the interior, and now we're in the process of furnishing it and finishing it. But I believe there'll be pictures available sometime within the next couple of weeks.
And you'll post that on your website and your social media
yes,
as well?
Yes, that's correct.
Which
yes.
is trustthevisiondecor.com and then also Trust the Vision Decor on Facebook and Instagram. You have two children. One is 7 and one is almost 2. Do you see any decorating, designing qualities in the older one?
Not really. She'll go. I have to talk her into going shopping with me, you know. But when we do get out, she's very much like, she's made a lot of decisions on her room. So, yeah, there's a lot of like, I want this. But she's very, there's no doubt. Like, when her decision is final, it's done. She's like, this is my color pink. And this is my rug. And this will be my wall color. And I love it.
That's so cute. Yeah. I love it. Maybe there is a little something.
Maybe there's a little bit, but she's already told me that gymnastics is her passion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in those words. So that's what we're rolling with right now.
So cute. Oh, my gosh. Do you have some basic decorating tips for the listeners?
Sure. So I think one of the things that people overlook when they're starting to design is you need to look at your home and you need to decide, is this my forever home? Because that's going to drive sort of how you decorate, you know what I mean? Or how you design a space. If you know that you're not going anywhere, like I have a friend who's a dog trainer and that she bought a house and that's it. So in the basement, she has, you know, dog training stuff that she's having permanently put in. If she was going to sell the house, probably not great for resale. So I think if you're thinking about that, it's always about kind of beginning with the end in mind and then going from there. So that would be one tip, is like just deciding, am I staying here? And then that's going to dictate sort of the choices that you make. I think another tip that I would give is don't forget about your ceiling. When everybody comes in and they start decorating a room, everything is these four walls. What am I going to do? Usually the floor is decided. And it's, what are we going to do with the walls? And then the ceiling, so many times, is just left. But that's a great opportunity to do something fantastic, to do something different, and really call attention in a way that's not typical. So I would say that's another one.
Give an example. What do you mean? What are you putting on your ceiling?
Not necessarily lighting, like what we did in your dining room. So that was a great way. You had a tray ceiling in your dining room, which is absolutely beautiful. It was already an architectural detail that was there, but it wasn't being highlighted. And so when we put that bold blue color, it really calls attention to the ceiling. And when I get the feedback on your dining room from different people, that's the number one thing. Oh, gosh, I love that. And so it was a way to bring in a really, really bold color, but not overwhelm the space by having all four of the walls blue. So okay. That would be a
Makes
perfect
sense.
Example.
Anything else? Do you have any other tips?
I think another tip is don't forget lighting. So lighting, typically there's general illumination, obviously, to light up a room. There's task lighting if you're like reading a book. But then there's also accent lighting. And so it's taking, you know, a piece of art and highlighting it. So that's one of the things that people overlook and that they forget. But it can really, really create an ambiance and an atmosphere, and it goes a long, long way. So something that we've done in our house is we've really paid attention to the lighting, and it's, you know, one of the things that the people who've seen it have commented on the most. It's like, oh, I love the lighting choices.
So in Gabe Kapler's home, you worked on his condo, you did a blue and a white. Are there some trends or color schemes that we're seeing more of now?
The big two, I would say, actually, that we're seeing is that, and I'm sure you've noticed it if you've been out shopping, is gold is making a comeback. And so everything was silver, everything was brushed nickel, everything was chrome. And we're moving away from that a little bit more to having more gold incorporated in design, or also being able to mix metals, where that was like a big no-no before. So you'll see that. Another color that's coming back is like the pinks and the blushes. If you look around.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was looking, actually shopping for a client the other day, and they have a huge bed, this beautiful big California king bed, and I found it, and it was sold not only in the typical like beige, browns, leather, things like that, but in blush. And she wasn't interested in it, but the fact that there was a piece that was that substantial in blush, it's making a comeback for sure.
I just bought some outdoor plates and pitchers and serving dishes and all that kind of stuff for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pink. Mm-hmm. And I remember getting it all home and everything was matching. It was like so cute. And I looked at it and I was like, I don't even like pink. Why did I get this? But in the store, like, it looks so pretty.
Right.
And I did end up keeping it. I mean, it is nice, but I remember thinking, you don't really like pink. Why did you buy that? But
right.
Whatever, I got it home and I liked it.
It's so. Trending right now, that's for sure.
Is there an absolute no in decorating or designing?
No, actually, there isn't an absolute no. I would say, again, it comes down to personal taste. But if you look hard enough, you can find anything out there. I mean, it's really all available. And then it comes down to like beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So what's beautiful to you or beautiful to somebody else is going to be, it's not going to hit the mark. You know what I mean? And so because there's so much subjectivity, I would say that there's not a huge design don't. There are trends that come and go. And I guess that would be the biggest thing if I was going to tell you no. I would say don't make like permanent choices on trendy things. So like, let's say blush is very in right now. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to do blush cabinets in my kitchen, or I'm going to do like a blush backsplash. Then you're tied into that. And then as time goes on, you're going to see immediately that looks dated when that trend runs out. So that would be the biggest thing that I would tell people, is I would say don't get too trendy with permanent things. So if you're doing like tile or things like that, I would say go classic. Go with, you know, the things that are not going anywhere.
So maybe the paint colors is where you want to go, maybe trendy, because that's easy enough to change.
Well, I would say paint colors, but not even then. You can make a room really, really colorful with keeping everything neutral and then just doing your finishes. So like
accents. Okay.
Your accents. Okay. So if you did window treatments is a great example of where something that you can change out over time, but it can be a big, again, a punch of color. For example, in your dining room, we did the navy blue curtains against, but if you take everything and you strip everything down, really the only major color is the ceiling.
Right.
And but your dining room does feel like it's blue, like it's something where you come in, you're like, oh, this is a blue, you know, that's the prominent color. So.
You know, when I found those curtains, we hung four of them. They came in sets of two. Mm-hmm. And I had one set and I found it at Home Goods. And I thought, this is perfect. This is exactly what I want. This is exactly what I'm looking for. There was only one set. So I only had two and mm-hmm. I needed two more. I sent out an SOS on text to everyone I knew. I was like, go to your local Home Goods. Here's what I'm looking for. Here's what I need. So I had people, I mean, my cousins in New York mm-hmm. were looking for it. I had people all over the place looking for it. Nobody found it. I'm mm-hmm. like, this is going to crush my dream, because I had, that was like the last piece mm-hmm. that we needed to put it together. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't find what you were mm-hmm. suggesting and what I wanted, what I liked. I was driving in Doylestown. I remember I was on 611. And there's a huge Home Goods. And I was like, you know what? I should stop here and check here. This was mm-hmm. months later. I still didn't hang anything on the windows. So I stop in, and what do you know? They have one set left. I was like, is this it? Is it the right length? Is this the same thing? Is it the same color? I was freaking out. And I mean, of course I bought it no matter what, got home mm-hmm. and it was the exact same. I was so excited. Finally had it. Mm-hmm. Finally put it in place.
It's definitely one of those things where you're out and you can, like you said, scour the world, and you're putting out SOSs sometimes when you're looking for those finishing touches to just make it like perfect. Like I could go with this, but this would make it perfect. So I completely understand. I remember when you called me, you're like, I got him.
I got him. This is it.
But no, it was worth it. It was worth it. So.
It was. It was awesome. So when somebody looks at their house or at a room mm-hmm. that needs to be redone, like completely redone, mm-hmm. and it's just, it can be overwhelming, mm-hmm. especially if you're looking at a whole house.
Sure.
You know, like you do. What would you suggest to those people just to not get stressed out and then not do it? Because that happens a lot.
Right. For sure. I would say number one, if you're looking at, whether you're looking at a whole house or a room, the first thing you have to do, which sounds like, oh, you need to make any repairs. So if there's something that's broken or needs to be fixed, you have to do that first. Because the last thing you want is to design a space, get it all beautiful, and then a leak that you had that you didn't bother with ruins the whole room. And now you have to rip everything out. So I would say that's where you start first. The second thing you need to do is you need to say what's going and what's staying. So take a look at the space and say, you know what? This picture from my grandmother has to stay because I love it. Or, you know, we're definitely keeping this. And if it's everything can go, then that's fine. Again, it's about beginning with the end in mind. And then once you understand, I'm keeping this large bookshelf or whatever it is, then you understand you can incorporate it into the design. So that's one of the first questions we ask our clients, you know, what's going and what's staying. So then we can design around those things that are staying. The other thing that I would say is then look at what you want to highlight in the room. Is there anything you want to highlight? Like in your dining room, sorry to keep going back to this, but you had the beautiful ceiling. So I'm like, this is something that we want to highlight, you know, that we really want to bring attention to. Or are there spaces that you want to minimize? This awkward space over here, this looks kind of weird. I don't, you know, I want to downplay that. And so when you're making those decisions, it's sort of guiding you in the right direction. And then once you decide, I have all this figured out, I know what's going, I know what's staying, everything's repaired or whatever. The next thing you need to do is when you say, you know, we're going to start, you want to give the room a function. So that's going to guide it. Not too long ago, we did a space where somebody was like, well, I want this to be my guest room, and I want this to be my office, and I want this to be, you know, something else. So there's like all these multi-functions. They tried to do it that way, where there was like this desk, and then there was this random like bed, and it was placed. And I was like, you know, what we need to do is we need to basically decide what is the primary function of this room. Do you want it to be mainly the guest room and then these other functions will support that guest room? If that's the case, then that's how we should design the room, primarily as a guest room. So once you understand the function of a room, it's easy then to start gathering pieces and looking at colors, because whatever that primary function of the space is should lead you in terms of designing. And that's the easiest way to give awkward spaces kind of a purpose, is to figure out a function for them. Whether that, and that function, it doesn't have to be like, oh, I get dressed in here, this is a bedroom. It can be as simple as like, this is where I check my makeup before I go out the door. This is where we put the mail. When rooms or when spaces start having a function, it's easier to design them.
Your services that you offer come in a variety of price ranges. So I know people always think a decorator, it's going to be so expensive, I'm not going to be able to afford it, I have to go out and get everything myself. Mm-hmm. But really not the case. You have a number of packages where it's different price ranges for different people.
That's correct. That was one of the things we wanted to do. Growing up, when I looked at my parents and how they functioned, they would be one of those families that said, you know what, that's a luxury. That's a luxury we can't afford. That's for rich people type thing. And so one of the things I wanted to do was say, you know what, everybody can have a beautiful space. And you can get expert help, but you don't necessarily have to get a full package. And so that's, again, that's where we were like, what can we do to sort of tailor it to somebody who doesn't necessarily want to spend or doesn't have it to spend to do a full design package versus for the people who are just like, you know what, just come in and just do your thing. So that's one of the things that I really wanted to do as part of our mission, is like, we want to serve as many people as possible.
And all of the information about the services that you offer are on the website,
correct? That's correct. Yes. If you just go on our website and up at the top in the menu, you'll see where it says packages, and the packages are all broken down. And it's all included what you get with each package so that you can understand.
Great. Lauren, thank you so much for coming by.
Absolutely. I really enjoy this, Kathy.
If you'd like to find out more about Lauren and her services, you can go to their website. It's trustthevisiondecor.com, and follow them on Facebook and Instagram, because you'll see a lot of before and afters and a lot of the work that they do. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm Kathy Romano. Have a great rest of your Sunday.
This has been Her Story with Kathy Romano. Her Story is produced by WBEN-FM in Philadelphia and airs weekly or on demand on your mobile device. Listen or subscribe at 957benfm.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.